Okay, this week's stuff is Pevov and Erevin. We're going to start from the last, the bottom two lines on the bottom of Pehei Amud Beis. So the Gemara says like this: Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yesh Sham Tfisas Yad. The Gemara, the concept in the Mishnah was that if you have two people living in the same chatzar, typically they have to make an Erev with each other. However, if one person really is the owner of the chatzar and somebody else is a guest, just because there are two people, that doesn't necessitate an Erev between them. What's considered a guest and what's considered a second tenant, a second occupant? So if the balabayas still has possession over or has objects in the second person's, in the guest's area, so then it remains really under the control and possession of the balabayas. So we're going to go into the details in a second. But the Gemara says, "Hechi damitzvisas yad." What does it mean that I still have, that the balabaya still has some control over the second person's area? Kagoin. Chatzer shel ben bunayis. The chatzer of ben bunayis. Also, the chatzer shel, it's really missing a word over here. It's the chatzer shel, ben bunayis. Yeah, the chatzer shel ben bunayis. Also, the kamei de Rebbe. He came in front of Rebbe. Ramanias, this rich guy, came to Rebbe's house. Amalahu, so he said to his Talmidim, Panu Makam Leben Meyamona. Open up an area that is the equivalent of 100 kalim worth. In other words, a pretty decent sized area so that he could put his stuff down. Also, Inishachmin, a second person showed up to the hotel the same day. Amalahu, Panu Makam Leben Masayamona. Oh, for this guy, he's even richer. He needs a bigger area. Open up an area for 200. So Amar Lefanov, so somebody said to Rebbe, Amar Lefanov, Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yoisi. Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yoisi said to Rebbe, Obib Shalzeh, this Ben Bunayas guy, in other words, Bunayas, Yeishloi Elef Svinus Bayam, Ukenegdan Elef Ayorois Bayaboshim. He has 1,000 boats in 1,000 cities, so he's really wealthy. So why are you giving him a smaller space? He really deserves even a bigger space. So Amar Lai, so Rebbe answered him, Kishet Lishaka Shagia Eitzel Aviv, when you see his father, Amar Lai, you should tell the father, Al Tishagreu Bekalim Halolu Lufonai. Don't send him with these cheap kalim in front of me. Because in other words, I looked at him. He looked like a poor, not such a rich guy. So I gave him what I thought was appropriate. But if you would dress properly, you would dress the fee the way he deserves. Anyway, that would be something that, then I would treat him properly because he didn't look like a wealthy person, so I didn't treat him like a wealthy person or that wealthy. And anyway, so how did this answer the Gemara's question? I think the pshat is that we see that really Rebbe really controlled the area that the guest was staying, and he just opened up as much room as he thought that the guest needed. But Be'etzem, he really still controlled and maintained control over the things that were in that area. The Gemara then continues with a very interesting aside. Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Rebbe, as a general rule, would be mechabed rich people. Rebbe Akiva mechabed ashirim. Also, Rebbe Akiva would give a special kavod to wealthy people. Why? Because Rabbi Bar Mari says there's a drasha for this. It says in the pasuk, Yeshev oilom lefnei lekim, people live in the world before Hashem, chesed ve'emes minyin tzeruhu. They create chesed and emes. So we say, what does that mean? They create chesed and emes. Emes ha'yeshev oilom lefnei lekim. When are we considered sitting in front of Hashem? In other words, that Hashem likes what we're doing. Bizman shechesed ve'emes minyin tzeruhu, when they are creating chesed and emes. In other words, you have rich people who are able to support the poor people, and they take the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them and use it for the purposes for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the money. So then they create a special chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes, and that's why he would be mechabed rich people, because rich people were able to do this chesed that brought on a special love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva were mechabedim. Just as an interesting note, the Rebbe Akiva Eger, the Gilyan Ashas, right here on the spot says, Mech Tesa, that Rebbe, Punkt Rebbe, was the one that was mechabed Ashirim. Why is this a drasha from Rebbe? So as we know from other Gemaras, Rebbe himself was very wealthy. Rebbe was very, very rich. So the Gilyan Ashas says that Rebbe was afraid that he was also the Gadol Ador. He was, a big Talmid Chacham. So he was afraid that people would be mechabed him because of his Torah. And we know the halacha is that a person is not supposed to get covered from the Keser Shel Torah. So what Rebbe used to do is he used to make a big deal about being mechabed rich people, so that people would say, oh, rich people are, you know, fancy guys, I should give them kavod. So then people would give Rebbe also kavod because he was rich. And he'd rather, this is what the Gilyan HaShas says, he'd rather receive the kavod as a rich guy than receive the kavod as a Talmud Chacham, because he didn't want to be using the Kesher Shel Torah. So that's why Rebbe, and by the way, Rebbe Akiva also, we all know that Rebbe Akiva Eger says this about Rebbe specifically, but we all know that Rebbe Akiva also was from a very wealthy family. He married the daughter of the richest man in the world at the time, or one of the richest men. So Rebbe and Rebbe Akiva were dafka the people who were the tremendous talmidei chachamim and were also very wealthy, and therefore were mechabed wealthy people. Anyway, very interesting, Rebbe Akiva Eger. But now the Gemara goes back to the point. So what's it considered? How do we consider it that I still have rishus domain over a guest's rishus? So the Gemara then continues. It says, Rabbi Barachana Omar Kagoin, Yesed Shal Machresha. If you have the shield, the plow, the blade of a plow sitting in the person's possession, so it's not something that he's going to use on Shabbos, so my possessions are in his room. And that gives me, it's still considered my room. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, Tana Devei Shmuel, we learned in the Yeshiva of Shmuel, Dover Hanitol B'Shabbos Oyser. If the things that I left in his room are things that are permitted to be moved, they're not mukta, so then the guest is Oyser, he's going to be considered a second person, because Rashi says he's going to move those things out of the room and then he'll have complete possession over it and then there'll be a second person here. Dover Hanitol B'Shabbos, but if the objects that I left in the room are things that are mukta and he's not allowed to move on Shabbos, Einoy Oyser, so then the person doesn't answer because now I am still the Balabayas over his room. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned in a Brisa similar to that, yesh lo tevel, if there is tevel, meaning that's food that I'm not allowed to eat, yesh lo yashoshes, or I have a used lantern which is muktzah and I'm not allowed to move it, behold, dovash ain't anything on Shabbos, or anything else for that matter that I'm not allowed to move on Shabbos, ain't no oser. He's not going to be oser. He's not going to make it oser, so therefore, I still have possession over it. Just a very interesting machlokes with Moshe Feinstein and the Chazon Ish about if I rent out my apartment. Let's say I live in the same building and I have an apartment also that I rent out to a tenant, and I keep, for example, it's a furnished apartment, so I have, let's say, a refrigerator or a stove in the apartment. So Rav Moshe holds that if I'm the Balabais and I provide the refrigerator and the stove, then I have things in his apartment that he can't move, and therefore we don't have to make an Eruv. But the Chazon Ish disagrees, and the Chazon Ish says that's not true, because when I rent the apartment, a fully furnished apartment, then yes, it's true that technically the Balabais owns the refrigerator. However, the reality is that that's what he's renting to the tenant. Just like he's renting the walls and he's renting the floor, he's also renting the refrigerator, and that's not considered the possession or the ownership of the Balabais. It's only considered ownership of the Balabais if he really retains 100% ownership. For example, if you rent an apartment, let's say it's a 3-bedroom apartment, but one of the 3 bedrooms is locked, and the Balabais has his stuff in there, he has a locked cabinet or something like that, that the tenant is not allowed to use at all, then the Balabais is really retaining rishus over it. But an oven and a stove that the tenant gets to use is not considered the Balabais keeping his possession. So it's a machlokes Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish whether or not that would be considered retaining possession. Okay, now the Mishnah continues. Amaniach Beisai, this is a general rule we've seen before. Somebody who leaves his house Erev Shabbos, v'halach lishbois be'ir acheres, and now he's in another city. So the question is, did he abandon his rishus or not? And therefore, does it require an Erev? Echad nachrim echad yisol. So the Mishnah starts with whether it's a Jew or a guy. Hareze oiser, he's still considered having possession, his possession in his old apartment. Dibre Meir, that's where a mayor holds. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, I know oiser. Doesn't answer at all, because once he's gone, he relinquishes his das from it, he's not here anymore. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, he says it depends. Nachri oiser. A Nachri is still also because a Nachri could always come back on Shabbos. Yisrael, ain't oiser. A Yid doesn't answer, because once he leaves. She'ain't derech Yisrael lovo b'Shabbos, because the Yid is not going to come back on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Oymer says it depends. Afilu aniach beisoy v'holoch lishbois etzel bitoy. Even if he leaves his house to go live with his daughter for Shabbos, b'oisoy a'ir, and she lives in the same city, ain't oiser, he's not going to answer, meaning he left. Shekvar siyam iliba, because he took it out of his mind, he's not coming back. He's going to stay by his daughter's house for Shabbos, he's not coming back. Once he's there, he's there. So the Gemara points out, Damar Rav, halachuk Rav Shimon. We pass like Rav Shimon that once he goes to his daughter's house, he's going to stay there for Shabbos, he's not coming back. However, b'davka bitoy, it has to be that it went to his daughter, his married daughter. Aval benoy, if he goes to his married son, loy, that's not considered he's gone, because he's not going to stay there. The amri yinshi, because people say, navach bach kalba, if a dog bites, a dog barks, oh, you should still go in, don't be scared of the dog. Navach bach geryusa, but if a lion, which is lashon nekeva, poik, then you, if the lion barks, lion roars, then you got to go out. So in other words, if your daughter... your daughter is married to your son, okay, he's a, whatever, he'll scream at you a little bit, but the father-in-law and the son-in-law can get along. However, the father-in-law and the daughter-in-law, once they start going at it, then that's it. It's not going to go, it's not going to stay. So therefore, a father is not going to necessarily stay with the son the whole Shabbos. Next Mishnah. Bar shebein shnei chatzeres. Let's say you have a bar that's in between two chatzeres, and both of them want to use it, and there's water in it. So, ein memalim b'shabbos, you're not allowed to fill up your pail from the water in this bar on Shabbos, unless there is a separation of asar tefachim. We'll see exactly where the separation is in the bar or on top of the bar between to separate the bar itself. Whether it's on bottom, meaning right above the water, as we'll see in the Gemara, whether it's in the airspace, in the hole, in the ditch of the bar. So that's when the mechitza works. Rav Shimon says beishama yoyimrim midlamata, it has to be below, meaning it has to be right above the top of the water. Beis Hillel says it can even be above, and we'll see exactly the Gemara is going to explain what above and below means. Rabbi Yehuda loytei mechitza gedolim and akoysel shebeneim. Rabbi Yehuda says no, this mechitza that you're putting on top of the water inside the bar is no different than any other mechitza. If there's a wall, let's say for example, that runs straight across the property and it runs straight across the bar. So that works also. It doesn't even have to dip into the ditch at all. As long as there's a wall on top, that's going to work. And the Gemara is going to explain why. The Gemara says now, Amar Rav Huna Lamata, Lamata Mamish. Rav Huna says the Machlekes Beisham Beisul is as follows. When it says Lamata, it says down. It means Lamata Mamish, meaning the wall extends right till above the top of the water line. Lamala, Lamala Mamish. But above means it's, let's say for example, a typical well, the water may be 10 or 20 feet deep into the well before you even get to the surface of the water. So lamala means that you could put the extend the 10 tfachim wall, mechitza, from the top of the bar. It doesn't even have to extend all the way down to the top of the surface. That's the machlekes beisham veishil. The zeb is zeb bar, but both of them agree that the wall, the thing that you're using, has to be somewhere inside the bar. Either it's all the way at the top of the bar, but all the way at the bottom of the bar, or at the top of the water, but the point is that it has to be within the airspace of the bar. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, he says, no, that's not the pshat. Lamata, lamata min amayim, means when it says below, it means even underneath the water. It has to start from the ground up, from the bottom of the well, the ground of the well, into the water, ten tfachim. And lamala, lamala min amayim, and lamala means it could be above the water, it doesn't have to be in the water itself. It has to be, but it has to be right at the surface of the water. Similar to what Rav Huna learned was lamata, the Rav Yehuda learns is lamala. It's the same thing. That's what Rashi says. So, Omar Rabba bar Abachana la Abaya. So Rabba says to Abaya, Hada Amar Rav Yehuda lamata, lamata min amayim. He says below means within the water itself from the bottom of the pit. So, Maishna lamata mamish, why does he insist that it has to be below? Delay irvimai, because that will keep the water on either side of the wall separated. Lamata min amayim nami ha irvimayim. Even if the wall is there, there's still going to be some water because the wall doesn't extend all the way to the surface. It just extends 10 tefachim up inside the water. But on top of the wall, the water is still going to mix together. Amar le lo shmi lechas. He says you didn't hear. Hada Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab. He said in the name of Rab. Umata ba mishum Rabchi, and he says it and then it brings it in the name of Rabchiya. So actually, you're Rashi Kanim lamala min amayim. No, mitefach that it has to. Even you're right. It has to, the wall has to start at the bottom of the pit, but the top of it has to extend all the way above the surface of the water. So it's going to extend all the way up. Rashi's mashma that it doesn't mean the entire wall goes all the way up. At least there has to be some of the wall that extends all the way up, and that way you could tell that there's supposed to be a separation. Vasu, and similarly, we said Hadam Rabbi Yehuda lamala lamala min amayim. He says that the wall has to be right above the surface of the water. So mashma lamala mamish. Why does he say that it can't be literally all the way at the top of the bar? That it has to be right at the surface of the water. He says that at the top of the bar doesn't work, the erva by maya, because the water itself is going to mix together. It's all going to be the same. So lamala min amayim nami ha erva maya. So even if you have the wall extend right to the surface of the water, the surface right below the surface, it's already going to be mixing together. So what's the difference? So Amarle, again, Lishmi Lachahada Tani Yaakov Karchina, didn't you hear what Yaakov Karchina says? Sar Shiishka Rosh Ekanim B'mayim Tefach. Again, when we say that it has to be right above the surface of the water, that means that a little bit of the wall has to extend within the surface, below the surface of the water. So you're right, it doesn't go all the way down into the water, but the point is it already makes, Rashi explains, a hecker, that it's obvious that we're trying to keep the two sides of the water separate. So you're right, the water itself mixes, but Lamaisa, there's a hecker that the two sides of the water are separate. Oh, so what do we see over here? We see that it's not literally that you're separating the water. Rabbi Yehuda says a different halacha. Kaira arba materas bechurba. Rabbi Yehuda himself says that we'll see Rabbi Yehuda's sheet is a little bit different. And he says that any time you have a beam that's 4 amos wide and it goes across, a churba is a destroyed house, but it works as a beam, that's also below that churba you're allowed to carry, because we say the edges of the churba extend as if they're a wall, godachis, all the way down to the ground, so you can consider that a wall. Okay, that's not the point, but the point here is Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua, Rav Nachman says, Chayra Arba Mataris B'mayim. He says if you have this beam that is 4 amos wide, it can extend to create a wall type of creation for the sake of water. But the problem is, Haka'azli Delila Idachkisa. Now imagine in your mind that there's this beam that goes across the top of the bar, but it's 4 amos wide, and we extend the sides of the beam as if it creates a mechitza. What does that accomplish? And imagine it's a rather large well. So there's plenty of area on either side of the beam. Problem is, when I drop my bucket into the well, haka'azli delila idachkisa, my bucket is not interfered or infringed in any way. So the bucket is going to, you know, make its way over to the other side of the beam, and I'm going to be pulling water from the other side, which is not mine. So what did the wall accomplish? So idachkisa maisi. So, and I'm going to be bringing water from the other side of the beam. So the Gemara answers, "Kimelu the Rabbanu the Ein Dili Mahalech Yosim Me'arba'at Tvachim." That the Dili, it's not 4 amos wide; it's 4 tvachim wide, rather. That the Dili is not going to, in the water itself, the Dili is not going to travel more than 4 tvachim across. Wherever I drop it, basically on my side, I'm going to drop it. It's the bucket is really not going to, you know, it's trying to go straight down as possible. It's not going to move more than 4 tvachim. So I'm not going to end up taking water from the other side of the beam. So Gemara says, "Tachas Karmiya Arvi." Maya, but at least underneath the beam, the water is mixing, and I'm going to take some of that water that's underneath the beam, which is not my rishus. So why is that mutter? So the Gemara answers, you're right. That's not the svar over here. It's a special kula by water that even though the water is mixing, and we're going to acknowledge that the water is mixing, if the chacham says for the sake of drawing water, that's good enough, and that's going to be mutter. Where do we see that? Kedaboy minei rav tabla mirav. Rav Tabla asked a question for Ram. Mechitza tuluya ma'a shetata b'churba. He asked him, is it permissible to have a wall that hangs from above as opposed to from the ground up? Is that going to be mutter for purposes of carrying in a churba? Does that create a wall? Amalei, ein mechitza tuluya materes ela b'mayim. We only consider a hanging wall from above working its way down to be a heter when you're dealing with water. Why? Kal hushay kilu chachama b'mayim. A special kula by water that the chachama wanted to allow you in any way possible to be able to use water and draw from water on Shabbos to bring it into your rishos. But again, it's only a kula that applies at least according to most shitas, except for Rabbi Yehuda that we quoted on Amud Aleph. But according to most shitas, that only is a kula that applies for water. It's not true for anything else. So therefore, by a churba, if you have a hanging mechitza, it's not going to be good enough to create a mechitza, halachic mechitza. But when you're dealing with water, we're going to hold that that's mutter. And that's actually the next point of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo tehei mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda said, remember, the case was that even if you have any wall that runs across the property and happens to run across the ditch also, so that counts as a wall. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this wall that over the ditch is not extending into the airspace of the ditch. The wall is above the ditch, and we're saying that's good enough because there's a wall on top. It's like a hanging wall, which should be enough to create a mechitza. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yehuchanan. So he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amr. So Rabbi Yehuda must be following Rabbi Yosi shita, the Amr mechitza tuli imateres afilu bayabasha. That he has a hanging wall that even though the wall is above and it's not actually extending all the way to the ground, Rabbi Yosi shita is that works even by even on dry land, that's halachically considered a wall. So for water purposes also, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care that the wall doesn't extend into the ditch. It's enough that the wall is above the ditch also because the hanging wall is good enough. Now, Rabbi Yossi said his halacha in the context of a sukkah. And he said that a hanging wall counts as one of the walls of a sukkah to create a kosher sukkah. That's not, we learned in the Mishnah. Hamashal shel dafonos milamala lamata. If you extend the walls, what happened was, the case Rashi explains is that I was sewing, I was, I was, uh, weaving a wall. I was creating a cloth wall, and I have my pole hanging on the top of the mechitza, and I started weaving it from the top and extending it down. So once I get to 10 tefachim, once the wall is extending 10 tefachim down, even though it doesn't reach the ground itself, that's considered a wall. However, bezman shegvaya, this is the first shita. Bezman shegvaya min ha'aretz gimel tefachim. It's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, psula, that's possible because that's what we call it, gedi and boikimboy, that somebody, an animal, can stick its head underneath. That's not considered a real wall, according to the shita. But if you started the wall from the ground up, so once it goes 10 tefachim high, that's considered a kosher wall. That's the Tanakama Shita, but that's not what we're looking for. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, Rabbi Yossi, Amakshem Shalamala, Lamata Lamala, so just like from the wall, if you start going from the bottom and you work your way up 10 tefachim, that's kosher. So Kachmi Lamala Lamata Asara, so too if you start from on top and you extend down, also once you reach 10 tefachim down, that's considered a wall, even though it's hanging more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So we see that Rabbi Yossi's shita is that even on dry land, for the sake of a sukkah, we see that that's halachically considered a wall, even though it's hanging. So too, Rabbi Yehuda would hold by a well, even though the wall is above the well, it's hanging from on top, but that's good. As long as you have 10 tefachim, it's considered a wall. But the Gemara says that comparison is really not true. V'lohi, lay Rabbi Yehuda sabalaka Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't follow, is not really following the same logic as Rabbi Yossi. V'lay Rabbi Yossi sabalaka Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi doesn't even necessarily hold it. Even though he holds a hanging wall works, he may not necessarily agree to Rabbi Yehuda's halacha by water or on Shabbos that it works as a proper mechitza. Why? So Rabbi Yehuda lay sabalaka Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda that says it by water on Shabbos doesn't hold up Rabbi Yossi on Sukkah. Why I can't like come Rabbi Yehuda Ella Be'eru V'chatzeris the Rabbanon. I said it by dealing with. I technically have a wall around the water on for Hilchah Shabbos. It's my Rishos Hayachid. The Rabbanon they said you need a special wall. So therefore I was makel because it's only a din the Rabbanon in the first place. But sukkah, you're creating a real sukkah midaraisa. This is either it is a kosher sukkah or it's not. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda never agreed that a hanging wall would be considered a kosher wall to create a sukkah daraisa. And the same thing is true the other way. Rabbi Yossi savalaka Rabbi Yehuda, loy savalaka Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because I can't like Rabbi Yossi out of a sukkah. He said, I agree. I hold by sukkah it'll work. The isra aseihu, because it's an aseh that you should have a sukkah. So if I don't do it exactly the way it's supposed to be, I just didn't do what I should have done, but I didn't do anything wrong. Aval Shabbos, the Yisr, the Skilohu, Loyomai. But by Shabbos, where if I did something I wasn't supposed to do, what I'm basically doing is I'm transgressing. I know it's a Din D'Rabbanan over here, but I'm essentially going against what the Torah said, don't be Mechalel Shabbos. Now, this is not technically a Nisa D'Araisa, but it'd be going against what the Torah said. If the Rabbanan said do it, the Rabbanan meant to say do it, and not doing it is like being Mechal Shabbos. So being Mechal Shabbos in general is an Isser Skilo. Rabbi Yossi not necessarily maskim that I would allow a hanging wall for an Isser Skilo. Oh, so now the Gemara says, but we see in practice that we do use this concept of a hanging wall. Vim Toimer, and if you'll ask me, Oisin Maisa Shanasa Bit Sipayri. We see there was a story that the Gemara is going to tell us in a second. We see there's a story in Sipayri that they did rely on a hanging wall. Alpi Mi Nasa. Who did they rely on? Which shita did they follow? And they said it was okay. Loyal P. Rabbi Yossi. It couldn't have been Rabbi Yossi's shita that said a hanging wall was enough. Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right. Al P. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. It was Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi that said, Nasa, that he held that that was okay to use a hanging wall. What was the story? The Chiyasa Rabbi Dimi, Omar, Pamachas, Shachub Loyaviyu Sefer Torah Mibay Joy. One time they forgot to bring the Sefer Torah that they needed for Kriya Sefer Torah. They forgot to bring it Erev Shabbos. Lamacher, the next day, Parsu Sadin, they spread out cloths hanging on poles. Allah moved them on the poles. Ve'aviyu Sefer Torah, and they brought the Sefer Torah from one Rishos into the other Rishos. So the Kariboy, and they used it to lane. So we see that they used hanging walls. Now the Gemara says, it sounds like from the story Parsu Lechatchila Mishari that they actually put up the walls on Shabbos so that they can bring the Torah. But who holds? Nobody holds that you're allowed to actually create a wall on Shabbos. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to make the wall on Shabbos. If it's there, it's there, but you're not allowed to make it on Shabbos. Ella, you're right. The case was, to be more precise, Matzu Sadin Prusin Alamudim. They found that there happened to be a perfect location, that there were walls hanging on, that they were there already, hanging from the poles on Shabbos. And they read from it. Anyway, so we see that they were hanging walls. So we see that you're allowed to use hanging walls on Shabbos. So that was Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Shita. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, Amar Davar Echad. We'll go just another minute. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chanina both hold that the special kul is by water. Rabbi Yehuda Hadamar, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that we just said that he says that you're allowed to use a hanging wall for purposes of being matir, taking water out on Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, Tetznan, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, Oimer, he says, Gezuster Roshiyesh by Arba Amos, Al Arba Amos. Let's say you have a porch which is located above water, that has an area of 4 amas by 4 amas. So it's a very large amma, but Rashi explains that 4 amas, if you translate that into tefachim, is 24 tefachim across. So 24 tefachim across, now remember, whenever you're dealing with a porch above water, you have to have a hole in the porch that's at least 4 tefachim, the gap is 4 tefachim across. So take 24, subtract 4, because the middle is going to be missing a hole, is going to have a gap of 4 tefachim, which leaves you 10 tefachim on either side of the gap. Right? 24 minus 4 in the middle is 20, 10 on each side. Okay, so that works. Chakuk by dalad al dalad. You can just make a hole, a gap of 4 by 4 in the middle of mala, and you can fill it in. You can fill it in. So what's the logic of that? Because Rashi explains that we have a special kula that we view it. I know the reality is that it's a straight porch, but we'll view it as basically is we fold in the sides. That, remember, there's 10 tefachim on each side of the hole, and if you fold in the sides so that the sides extend 10 tefachim down. So now you have a shoot of 10 tefachim down, and we learned already that whenever you're creating a shoot that you're able to draw water from, it has to go 10 tefachim. And so therefore, instead of looking at the 10 tefachim as if they're straight across horizontal, we look at them as if they're vertical, and that's how you create your shoot. So just to finish with this last line, maybe really Rabbi Hanani ben Akavi doesn't hold of this halacha that by a special kula by water. So ad kam lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam el adam or gudaches mechitzasa. But that's because Rabbi Yehuda says that once you have a wall that goes part of the way down, we extend it the rest of the way down, that's a special kula. Avo kaifagod loy. That to say that we pretend to fold it and also extend the wall all the way down, that we never say. Remember, because the whole concept over here is that we're going to pretend that the platform is folded in a way that we, even though reality is it's horizontal, we look at it as if it's vertical. And then, not only is it vertical, but we also have to pretend that it extends all the way down to the water. So two kulas we're not going to rely on. And then, to finish this off, the Gemara says, "V'ad kam loikam Rav Chanina ben Akavya chosom ela b'yamashal Tveria." And besides, even when Rav Chanina ben Akavya says the special kula, it was only because he was using the Tveria, the Kinneret. Hayol v'yeshlay oignim, because the Kinneret has very high banks on the side of it. V'ayaris, and it has cities, v'karfifos, and little towns around it, makifas around it. So it really has a mechitza around the whole water base. So the fact that you're playing this game, that your mechitzas are like a shoot and so on and so forth, it's a special kula over there. But if you're dealing with other waters, maybe Rav Chanina ben Akavi never would have agreed that as a general rule we're able to play the special kula that you could fold it over and also continue the extension. So it's a special kula that Rav Chanina ben Akavi said in a very specific case. It's not necessarily a raya that he would hold of this case as a general rule. Okay, so Mirat Hashem, we'll pick up with the middle where we're up to on Pei Zayin next time.